Okay, page 271. Hey, us full of argue to look at. I'm just gonna finish here so I can take this out of the finish. Okay, so Yaakov knows that he's about to die, and he's gathering his children, the Shvatim, to give them brachas. Josh, how are you? We're on page 271, Josh. Okay, this is the lesson of the Chumash. Vayikra Yaakov Abana Vayomer. Yaakov called to his children and he said, Hey Asfu, gather, Va'agid Olachem, and I will tell you, Esasher Yikra Eschem Ba'achris Hayamim, that which will occur to you, which will happen to you in the end of days. Okay? Then he says, Hikav Su. It's another lesson of gathering together. Vishimu B'nei Yaakov, listen. Children of Yaakov, Vishimu El Yisrael Abicham, listen to Yaakov, your father. So the Sfas Emes is saying that there are two Lashonos here of gathering. One is Hey Asfu, the Lashon of gathering together, Va'agida, and I will tell. And the second Lashon is Hikavsu, which also means to gather, but it's a little bit of a different expression, gather and listen. Gather and I will speak, and then the second one is gather and I will listen. Hi. Sheyesh beiz mine asifas. The Sasama says there are two types of gathering, of coming together. Echad la'orer koach hashpa'a. The first type, the first insight into gathering together is to awaken koach hashpa'a, is to awaken a power of being able to give forth. They emanate outward. Is this another copy here?
This, I picked the wrong copy.
Okay. Right here. Behu Bechinas Yosef HaTzadik. And this refers to the dimension or the capacity of Yosef. Right. So there are two general say movements. One is Hashpa'a and the other one is Mekabel. Hashpa'a means to give out, to give over, to emanate. To be makabel is to be able to receive, to hold on to something. So the first lashon is gather and I will tell. Right? Speaking, telling, that is a giving forth. And he says this corresponds to Yosef because it's a similar word there, Yosef heyosfu. Ukenira shezen is kayim bahem, lachen hayamuchem legalos bahem. So Sfasema says, it appears to me that this ability, that they were unified enough to be able to influence others and to give out, he says that they had been miskind, they had fulfilled that, and then Yaakov was prepared to give that over, that type of bracha.
What do you mean to give that over? Give that over to?
To the children? Reaching a certain point where you can give, you can emanate, you can shine to others. Or as the tribes had reached that, the Shvatim were able to give to others.
And before that, they were just shining for themselves?
No, he doesn't say that. It's not indicative of what they were before. He's just saying where they were right now, according to his understanding, they were able. They had reached that madrega that they could give to others.
But it's interesting, they had to get to Mitzrayim to reach that madrega.
To get there, yes.
It's interesting, yeah. They had to go down to go up, you know.
Yeah, actually he's going to allude a little bit to that a little later on in the mind, but that's true. That's right. Then the second expression of gathering is vihikavsu vishimu, gather and listen. Now that's a different expression. To listen is to be able to receive, to hold on to something. Hu b'chinas binyamin hatzadik, he says this corresponds to binyamin. I don't know how he gets that. I couldn't figure that out, why it corresponds to Binyamin. Koach hakibutz lihios muchanim lekabel. That's the ability to hold on to something. When you gather your forces to hold on. You can gather your forces to give, and you can gather your forces to receive. And he says, the second one, the gathering of their forces to receive, lo b'china zu lo hoysa mitukenes adayin, they had not fulfilled that second capacity yet. They were big enough that they could give, but they had not yet, were not fully developed enough to be able to receive, to integrate. Page 271. Yes. Therefore, now he's going on what the Midrash says, Rashi brings, that it was concealed from Yaakov. He wanted to reveal to them what was going to occur in the end of days, and Hashem held it back from him. Hashem didn't allow him to reveal it. He hid it. Why, this was the beginning of exile for the Jewish people. They were about to begin the exile in Egypt. The Iker HaGolus, Hu She'enu Yochol Lihis Asef, Libos B'nei Yisrael Ke'achad. The underlying theme of Golus, in its difficulties and tribulations, is the inability of the Jewish people to gather their hearts together as one. Where we are dispersed physically, that's one problem. The actual physical dispersal of the Jewish people. But he says underneath that is something which is more emotional and even spiritual, that our hearts are not unified together. And he says that is what's occurring in Galus. The Iker HaGalus, says it is about this that we ask Hashem, the tefillah we say, gather us in your dispersed people. Right? Gather our dispersed people, Israel, in together. He says this is not just a request physically for us to be gathered together, but spiritually, pull us all together so we can hold on to your bracha. So we can hold on to God's bracha, unite us so we can receive. They were not yet in that state of being. They were not fully together enough to be able to receive, and that was indicative of the fact that Golus was beginning. Exile was beginning. They could give, but they couldn't receive.
Is that why possibly then we see that Yaakov couldn't tell how the end of days is going to be?
That's what he says here. Therefore, that's what he means, Lachain this time. Therefore, it was concealed from him because they were not ready to hold on.
They couldn't hold on.
Right.
The Kli wasn't ready.
Where do we ask the Kavetz Nitchenu?
Kavetz Nitchenu, Merabach, and the Sards, the Arzainu, Shmon Esrei.
I remember the word Nitchenu. Yeah,
it's hard. I think it's both, isn't it? You don't hear them there, but it comes from the side. This is conversating effect.
Maybe I say
the Kabbat. It's not in. I thought it was in Shmon Esrei. The Kabbat Nida Feinu. Where is Kabbat Nida Feinu? No, it's not there.
So we do say something about gathering.
We say the Kabbat Yachad in Shmon Esrei.
Where?
Oh, that's where it is. I think you're right. Let's see if that's correct. Yeah. Bikavis, thank you, Marty. It's in the Misha Asanisim right after Bruchas Acharish. Bikavitz nidachenu mi'arba kan hosaretz, gather in our dispersed people from the four corners of the earth. Okay.
That's what's in the Musa.
Right before Musaf, yeah. Okay. Lachem b'shabbos kodesh de misachadin yesh yisorus hagu'ula. Now he says almost as parenthetically, on Shabbos, when there is a unity of spirit amongst the Jewish people, therefore, the Geula, redemption, is awakened. Because redemption, in this context, he's saying, means when we're unified enough as a people, when our hearts are close, that we can receive God's bracha. And on Shabbos, we do achieve that in some capacity. So Shabbos is like redemption. Which kind of redemption? That we are unified as a people and we can hold Hashem's bracha. That's like Shabbos. That's a little bit as an aside. Then it continues. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim. Now the Torah says at the beginning of this parasha, Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim. Hu shehiktim HaKadosh Baruch Hu refu l'maka. And so here we are in Galus and about to begin to endure the slavery in Mitzrayim. That's the maka, that's the affliction that God is sending to the Jewish people. But there is a rule in the Gemara that the Chachamim say that Hashem always sends that which heals us. He sends the remedy before He sends the affliction. So if we are bothered by something, if we're pained by something, we can always know that the refuah is already there. As a matter of fact, it came before. It's there. So Yaakov's presence in Mitzrayim, the fact that he came down first, that was the refuah. His presence was the remedy for the upcoming fragmentation of the Jewish people in exile. He was the unity in Mitzrayim. Beroa Yaakov, and even so much that he himself saw, Yaakov Avinu Levashalom, Hatoelis, Sheyihiyah Bigeulas Mitzrayim. Yaakov was even able to see the purpose that would come to the Jewish people when they would be redeemed from Mitzrayim. He saw not only the years of slavery, but what it would lead to in the positive sense. Kama shekasu v'achar kach yetzu b'rechush gadol, as it says, and the Jewish people would leave there with great possessions, right? They left with all of the wealth of Egypt. V'sham na'asu l'goy gadol, and they were there made into a great and populous nation. Through all the slavery and the bondage and the horrors of that, but somehow our nation was born in the midst of that. And Yaakov was able to see that. He could see what was coming. As the Chachamim analogized our presence in Mitzrayim like a fetus in its mother's womb. It was the birth of our nation. Al-Pasuk Mikur HaBarzon. Also, it's like purifying metal. You extract gold from an impure metal. It's the process of purification that Mitzrayim is also compared to. V'zeh ha'sod shel ha'keitz sheratza laharos lahem. He says this is the secret of the end of the redemption that he wanted to show them. He wanted to show them that while you endure this slavery, underneath it all there is a tikkun occurring. There is a process which is leading to your betterment. That's happening underneath.
I was just saying alchemy.
Alchemy?
Yeah, well, you have to, you're drawing up, you understand what you mean by alchemy?
It's, yeah,
take
yes.
Rough metal and you change it.
Into something more pure.
Right, yeah. That's how the scientists grew.
Yes.
Yes. That's just, layers and layers of feeling.
Yes.
Like you said, the remedy's already there.
Right. Okay. Uchamochein, then he says, similarly, Nigla liYosef. Yosef also understood this process. It was revealed to him. The birth that was occurring through the pain in Mitzrayim. He understood that. V'lochein, and therefore it says, and this is at the end of the parsha, you recall, at the end, Yaakov dies. And after he dies, there's an unusual exchange that occurs. It says like this in Pasuk Tesvav, "Vayiru acha Yosef kimeis avihim." The brothers of Yosef saw that their father had died. The tribe, the Shvatim, saw. "Vayomru," and then they said, "Lu yistameinu Yosef." Maybe Yosef will hate us now. "V'hashev yashiv lanu es kol ha'ra'ah." And he will pay back all of the evil asher gamalnu so that we caused him. Vayitzavu al Yosef, so they sent a message to Yosef. They told him that your father commanded before he died, saying, tell Yosef to forgive the sins of his brothers. So please, therefore, forgive us. What did Yosef do?
Vayef Yosef Badavar Melech. Yosef cried when he heard this. And they said to him, when Yaakov died, they became afraid. They said, our father said you have to forgive us. And Yosef cried. Right, so let's see how he understands this to me. Pardon me? Yes, let's see how he understands it. I'll just read that line again. Kamoche nigla leYosef. Likewise, Yosef also, through all of his events, and his soul being sold into slavery and all of his challenges, he also had a grasp on Hashem's hashkacha, right, God's guidance of the events for the good. And you remember, even when he revealed himself to the brothers, and he said, Ani Yosef, he told them, I'm Yosef, and then they became horrified. And he said, don't worry, because you thought that you caused me harm, but God brought me here for a reason. I had to provide for you. So he also saw inside of what was happening, the inner meaning of the events. And therefore, Vayeth Yosef Bedabro Melov, he cried when they came to him and asked his forgiveness again. Kamosha Kasa B'Shanim HaKodmin, as we've written earlier. Why? Mizeh Shehem Hirgishu, because they felt, the Shvatim and the other brothers felt, Hagolus, they felt the exile now, the Histalkus Yaakov, with the death of Yaakov, of their father. They begin to feel the exile. The Choshishu, they were afraid, Shagormu Chas V'Sholom Yerida La'Avihem, that it was them who brought their father Yaakov into a lower state of being. They thought it was their fault. They got into blame. Kemira Miloshen HaPasuk Vayiru Kimes Avihem, as it says in the Pasuk itself, that the brothers saw that their father died. What's the significance of that? The significance is that they felt that they were responsible, that it was because of them that Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim. Keilu hayu sevurim sheYaakov avinu alav shalom yitaken sheyihi yabila hamavas lenetzach. They thought that Yaakov's greatness was so great that he could have actually brought about the final redemption in his days, where there would be no more death at all. Umikol shekein shelo yishlod bo, and most certainly that he himself, at least as an individual, could conquer death. And he says, by the way, the Chachamim did tell us that Yaakov did not die, even though it looked like he did, but he didn't. I think we talked about that once. So they blamed themselves for Yaakov's death. They said, it was us, we sold Yosef, that brought us all down here, therefore Yaakov brought down, and they were blaming themselves, and they apparently could not take a broader perspective of Hashem's Hashkacha, whereas Yosef did. And when they came to him and said, please forgive us now, it's our fault, Yaakov died, he cried because he felt badly that they couldn't pull themselves out of self-blame. He said, okay, what happened, happened, but remember Hashem had his reasons. The Yosef Amar Lahem, and Yosef said to them differently, ki adaraba, to the contrary, Yaakov himshich ha'oras hachiyus letoch Mitzrayim. You think that you brought Yaakov here and caused him death? No. Hashem brought Yaakov here because he was the remedy for this exile that was about to happen. We needed our father's life here, L'hacha Yosam Rav, because he gave us the ability to survive in this golem. Now I think that this point he mentioned at the beginning, that the brothers were not yet able to receive, I believe that is connected to the point he says at the end, that a person shuts down when they're too involved in self-blame. And self-pity shuts us down. By taking responsibility for what we do is one thing, and that's constructive, and we try and improve ourselves, but then we have to pull ourselves out and say, let's move forward. If we can't, we're not going to be able to receive Hashem's bracha. We're not going to be able to handle that. And maybe this is what he's referring to. They were too much involved in self-blame and they could not hold on to the bracha. Whereas Yosef saw it. He saw the good that happened to him. Yes, Al?
Just from my own very case. Yosef's were from another dimension. And most of us are functioning in our personalities and our I, which is always in duality.
Right.
where they were caught in self-blame, you know, the double sword. But when you see from another dimension, then you're able to be objective.
Right.
And you can't do it until you get to that level of consciousness.
Right. And he lifted himself above that.
Most definitely. But he had to. And that's something you see from, like we see things in the square, he saw it beyond the square.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of work, you know, in the spiritual eye.
Yeah. Take a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of work.
Yes, Jeff?
I was reading a thought of the construct of the words that this, where the brothers come from Yosef.
Yeah.
Is there seeing it from Yosef's perspective? It's almost this appears that there's no accident. It's like when we see it from that
servant of Hashem.
That there's, you know, there's a control of the force, Hashem's force that's seen at that angle.
When they stood before Yaakov and
yes, that's Hashgacha. The only thing, though, that we do need to use caution there is
that
some would want to perhaps take that so far and therefore dismiss any responsibility. Whatever I did, if God meant it to be. It's both.
To
take responsibility and also be aware of Hashem's guiding hand in all things.
Interesting thought.
Okay, let's take a look at one more.
Rabbi Reiner. Reimer, he's Israeli.
Part of the greatness of the sons was that those that caused what seemed to be evil regretted it immensely. Whereas, like, they asked, why did we punish the Egyptians so much? Well, because they might have said, we were only following our orders, but they didn't regret it at all to do the evil, or, you know, the same with the Nazis. They didn't feel embarrassed or ashamed or, you know, rebel against their conscience to follow these orders, to do what, this is what's decreed. You know. So the fact that the brothers repented of what they did, even though it came out to be good, that's the distinction between them.
Let's take a look at the last one, and Avi is pointing out that this is actually the last mimer that the five sentence wrote, period. Right. It's a Tufrei Samachay, which is 1905, Parshas Vayechi. Actually, probably was the end of 1904, and probably around December time. This is the last mimer that was written by the, or told over at least by the five sentence. B'pasuk he'asru v'agido lachem, same pasuk, he said, gather and I will tell you. U'b'midrash, excuse me, the Midrash writes, Shezachu mikan the Kriya Shema, that it was here that we were Zochet to Shema, like Joseph Joshua was just saying, the Chazal, that the brothers convened and they said to Yaakov, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and then he answered back, Baruch Shem Kibod Machmasol Olam Bered. De'isa, it is brought, Kol Kenesio Shehi L'Shem Shemaim, Sofa L'Hiskayim, any gathering which is for the sake of heaven, will endure in the end. It will have enduring qualities. Behine Knesia Zu Bavadai Hayu L'Shem Shemaim. Certainly this convening of the brothers was for the sake of heaven, when they all gathered around Yaakov. V'lochein hi kayem es lo'ad, and therefore it endures forever, because the Shema which came out of it is something that we have until this day. L'kamosh Kasuv, as it's written, Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'acharis Hayamim. Yaakov said, I will tell you that which will happen to you in the end of days. Meaning, Sha'asifa Zu Haya Hachana L'Kol HaDoros, this gathering together was a preparation for the Jewish people for the rest of history. And we know also that the brachos that Yaakov did give the Shvatim were reflective of what would occur to each Shevet for the, till the end of time, till Mashiach. Begama shekiblu achar kach haTorah. Now he says, the fact that the Jewish people received Torah afterwards, haya bekoach zeh, it went back to this great force of this meaning. That's a tremendous thing he's saying here. That this somehow was one of the foundations of Kabbalah haTorah. Kamo shekasuv mora shah kihilas Yaakov, it's an inheritance to the gathering of Yaakov, to the congregation of Yaakov. He says that refers to this gathering together of the children of Yaakov. The Torah is a result of this gathering together of Yaakov, when they stood by his bed. U'b'chol asifa l'shem shemayim, takes it further now, any time that Jewish people gather for the sake of heaven, Misayeya Kocho Shel Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu's force, his strength, is present. And for the rest of history, if there's a gathering of Jewish people which is pure, which is for good reasons, Yaakov's koach is there. The Yaakov Koluhu Kidisa Bazar HaKadosh, because Yaakov is inclusive, and he includes all the Jewish people, as the Zohar writes, and of course that's the meaning of the 12 tribes coming from Yaakov specifically. V'lachem b'shabes kodesh, shehu siman asifa, zochem b'nachlas Yaakov. Now he says on Shabbos as well, when we gather as a people with sanctified purposes, what are we called? What is Shabbos called? Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. It's called the inheritance of Yaakov, our father. It's a gathering of the Jewish people for holy reasons, and it's called Nachlas Yaakov. It's called the Nachala B'li Mitzorim. It has no bounds. V'harei Kol Yisrael Nikar'u Ashen Yaakov Yisrael. And we also know that all the Jewish people are called sometimes Yaakov and sometimes Yisrael. Most commonly we usually use the name Yisrael. But Kehilas Yaakov also refers to the Jewish people too. In Kain, Kol HaShoresh Machnisim, I'm sorry, Miknesia, who, I think it's Miknesia, who Yaakov. V'lachein Amar B'Kohalam Al Techad Kavodi. He says, therefore, the source of being able to gather again as a unified group comes from Yaakov, and therefore when he said in the bracha, when he was upset with Shimon and Levi, and he said that in their gathering my honor should not be present, because when it was for negative purposes, for destructive purposes, he was showing that I will have no part of. Sheyada shekol hakihilos nisasin bekocho. He knew that any gathering of the Jewish people would be through his strength. V'omar shulotechad kvodi, he said, I will not allow my honor to be there in a bad place, holo v'lohayu l'shem shemayim, because since this was not done for the sake of heaven. So he's criticizing again when they obliterated the city of Shechem. D'chasiv titein emes l'Yaakov, because Yaakov stands for truth, truthfulness, in the most perfect sense. Ukinesia Shahi Lashem Shemayim Nikres Emes, a gathering which is for the sake of heaven is also called truth. Kamoshakasu Vashem Elohim Emes, as it says, Hashem Elohim is truth, Bahumas Kain, it is that which endures. So he's adding another point here. He's saying that when you have a gathering which is for the purpose of heaven and the association with Yaakov, he says that is in conjunction with its qualities of truth. If the gathering of people is for a true, worthwhile purpose, and it's honest in its nature, that is also attaching to the Midah of Yaakov, who is the Midah of truth.